Nachtun, the Heilige Erste Mishnah from the Erste Perik from the Seder HaShas.
Wow. You may have picked up that we're holding on Daf Beis and Aleph and Brochus, Shmas Rapshin Samar Pei. Me'ema Saikernet Shema Be'arvin. At what point can we read Shema in the evening? Misha'asha Kohanim Nechvasim Lecho B'Trumatam. You can read from the time that Kohanim are allowed to eat Truma. Now, the truth is that there are three different stages in which there's the Tahara of someone who was tummy during the day. Takes effect. The first stage is a person whose tamei simply goes to the mikveh. When he gets out of the mikveh, he's allowed to eat maaser. He then waits until the sun sets, which is called Ha'arev Shemesh, because until that time he's called a tful yom, someone who was tamei during the course of the day. And then as soon as the sun sets, he can now eat truma. However, in a case where he was tamei with one of the types of tumas that's b'chayev him to also bring a karavan, then the tvul yom is only part of his problem. He's also mechusar kippurim. So let's say he was a bitzora, he was a zov gadol, and so on. So mechusar kippurim, he can't possibly become Torah in the evening because he can't bring a karavan in the evening. And since the first time he's roy to bring the karavan is only after he finishes being a tvul yom, he's going to have to wait till the next morning. So what the Mishnah is telling us here is that the middle shiur, which is the point that a kohen is allowed to eat truma, which is after Ha'arev Shemesh, that's the point that we begin reading Kriyat Shema. It's a very strange way of referring to a point in time. And the Gemara is going to be troubled by why it is we refer to it this way. Usually, when there is a halakha that has something to do with time, we give astronomical points and not minhag of what it is that we're doing about the time point. So why in the world we should say it this way? We'll have to wait till we get to the Gemara. At sofa shmura harishona. Now, the question is whether this is a new issue. In other words, the Mishnah never began by asking until what time, and only said from what time. And that's why we'll see later on that one way of understanding the Mishnah, I think you've taken your seat. One way of understanding the Mishnah, Yaakov is gone for a week, is that there's two parts to the Mishnah. Everybody agrees, at least everyone in our Mishnah so agrees, period. Now starts a new section, in which there are various shitot. Rebbe Eliezer shitais, ad sof ashmura harishona, Devi Rebbe Eliezer. In other words, we have a three-way machlokus about the end of the time, which we never introduced with a question. And the question was only, when do we start reading? We'll see why that would be true. But if that is true, then the implications are that not necessarily does Rebbe Eliezer agree with the statement of which helps us out, because later on in the Gemara we find out that indeed Rebbe Eliezer doesn't seem to agree with this statement. The only way to understand the Mishnah, therefore, is that it's in two parts. So, until what time can you read? Until the end of the Ashmura Rishona. We'll see, depending into how many divisions we split the night, and these divisions are metaphysical divisions and that take their cue from changing of the guard down on earth. There's a concept of changing of the guard in the heavens. So, some say there are three divisions of a night, some say there's four divisions of a night. Later on, so this would be, let's say, a third of the night. There's four divisions of the night. Now this clearly cannot be a din in Yom V'Layla, because there's no such concept as division in the Torah in terms of Yom V'Layla. We only have a concept of Yom and Layla. There's even a question among the Achronim whether there exists a concept of hours, Bechlal. Is that a D'oraisa? We discussed that back in Nida. I mean, where does the Torah say to split the day into 12 hours? Or split the night into 12 hours? I mean, and then maybe that's an invention, a social convention. The idea of splitting a night into three portions or four portions, how would that have to do with a night? And so we immediately get here our first intimation of the fact that Zman Kriyashma Baharvis doesn't have anything to do with night necessarily. And that's because the Torah never said to read Kriyashma at night. Nor did it say to read Kriyashma in the day. The Torah says Bishol B'chov Kumecha. Bishol B'chov Kumecha may have nothing to do with night and day. It might have to do with the time that people generally get tired and go to bed. which may be maybe late in the night, or maybe it's referring to the earliest point when kids go to bed, I mean, whatever, but maybe talking about a little bit in the day. If you learn B'shoch B'cha means while people are busy going to sleep, so maybe it only extends for 2 hours, let's say between the time of 10 and 12. When do people go to sleep? You'd say, okay, between 10 and 12, that's the norm, let's say, all right. So then maybe that's the only time to read Kriyat Shema, because that's our Shat Shchiva. Of course, the other way of understanding would be that Shat Shchiva means as long as people are sleeping. So then we could say, okay, so from it's from 10 to 7 a.m., maybe. But who's to say that it has something to do with the technical definition of Yom V'Layla astronomically? You can understand if that's the case, why it is we would choose this particular topic of Kriyat Shema to use some other reference beside an astronomical reference. We talk about Nishas HaKohanim Nichlasim L'Chol B'Trumatan. Because we're not talking about astronomy here in terms of B'Shoch B'Cha U'V'Kumecha. So let's find now a convention of some sort that people do that would be the equivalent of the time that we consider to be B'Shoch B'Cha U'V'Kumecha. And that changes the whole idea. You'll see it also does mean, besides Korn Shema Ba'arvin, what does Ba'arvin mean? Ba'arvin as the sun sets, Ba'alayla as it's dark, what kind of term is that? Who ever heard of Be'erev? Would we read it Be'erev? Is that the point? It's like Be'na Shemashah, what does Be'erev mean? Again, the whole idea over here seems to be based on accepting a Yesod that Yom of Ba'alayla is not necessarily definitive when it comes to Kriyat Shema. So if Rebbe Eliezer says Atzof Hashmorah Rishona, there's no possible way that he can learn that B'shoch B'cha means as long as you're sleeping. Nor is there any way as he could learn that it means nighttime. He has to understand that B'shoch B'cha means while people are going to sleep, generally time for bed. Time for bed is time for Kriyat Shema. So therefore he's saying, okay, one third of the night, or one quarter of the night, depending on how we understand the Hashmorah later on, that's the time that people go to bed.
Except for David Amal.
Hmm?
Except for David Amal.
Except for?
David Amal.
Well, we'll see about David Amal later. The Chachamim omrim ad chatzot. Now the Chachamim say until the midpoint. Midpoint would mean that it is astronomical. Where we would get the idea of ad chatzot from, but of all things, that's not really a definition of Laila, ad chatzot. It's not, there's no reason why we would say that bedi-bai time is necessarily until a particular astronomical point called Ad Chatzot. I mean, it's also a little bit... And we'll see that when they say Ad Chatzot, in a sense, it was an arbitrary time. It wasn't a really definitive time of Kriyat Shema, as we're going to see in a moment. Rabbi Gamliel Amar Ad She'ale Amud HaShachar. The idea over here of B'shoch B'cha does not mean when you're going bedi-bai. It means while you are asleep. The whole time that you would, from the time you go to sleep until the time you would wake up. In which case, we'll see in the Gemara that there's even a shita who holds that it could continue into the day. Because since society has its spoiled members who get up maybe at 7 a.m. or maybe even at 8 a.m., that's already the middle of the day. Nonetheless, we're going to allow you to read Kriyat Shema, and perhaps, if it's a din in B'shoch B'cha. All of these things we need to take into consideration as we go through the sukkah. Now there was once a story in which the children of Rabbi Gamliel came home from a party. Now the question is, what kind of party? The reason that I say this, I'm not asking that facetiously. If you hold, like the Rishonim who say, the norm of the use of the word mishte is chatan v'kala, so it's a chatuna. If they were coming home from a wedding, that throws another element into the mix, which is that they were being osik v'mitzvah. In which case, when they came home and it was too late to read Kriyat Shema, and they came to ask Daddy, can we still say Kriyat Shema? Then he would be taking into consideration that they're in a state of onus, not that they planned it out, l'chatchila, to push off Zban Kriyat Shema after Chatzot, which is the das of the rabbin here, is the das of the rabbin. However, because it doesn't specify, it may mean be Beit HaMishtek, could just mean from the nightclub. In which case, they wouldn't be anusim. Now that's a machlokas we've shown him. And it has all, or at least a great deal to say about what exactly the meaning is of the conversation between Rabbi Gamliel and his children, and how we would understand the relationship of the Psak Ad Chatzot to the Psak of Rabbi Gamliel to his children, that nonetheless you can still read Kriyat Shema. And let's see how we could possibly understand it. There's two basic ways of understanding the following conversation. So they come back from the party on Rulo, they tell their dad, they fess up. Lo karinu et shema. Amar lam, well, im lo ala mudashacha, chayavim atem likrot. If it's not as yet sunrise time, or amudashacha time, I don't know how to say that in English, dawn. Be close. Yeah. Well, I mean, dawn, I think, crack of dawn. All right. So, chayavim atem likrot, you'd have to read Kriyat Shema anyways. You should still read. So, in the Gemara, it becomes clear that the children are asking, look, we know your Shita is still the morning, but after all, you may happen. You may be our father, but you're still not the Rabbin. So, I mean, we have to follow the halakha of the Rabbin, not what you say. Our question essentially is when the Chachamim said at chatzot, did they preclude the Yotzei Kriyat Shema after chatzot? So he tells them, no. They didn't mean that the Zman of Kriyat Shema is really only at chatzot. This is not the only case where they came up with this thing of at chatzot. And I'll tell you, the rule is like this. Chatzot never defines anything. There's no such concept as chatzot. Why would there be a din of chatzot for any of these din? And we'll see later on the Gabi Krav Pesach, maybe a concept of chatzot. But kol mashab amru chachamim at chatzot. The truth is that anything that is a mitzvah halayla, the mitzvah continues the entire night. Wherever we find the chachamim coming up with an idea of chatzot, then actually miniyaraisa mitzvah tanachi alay mudashach. For instance, we know hekter chalavim veivarim. We know that you bring up any chalev. Chalev, of course, would be from any korban. Eivarim is only brought from a korban olah. Otherwise, any other korban doesn't have eivarim of basar. But that chiev is achi alay mudashachar. I mean, there's no such idea as chatzot. Furthermore, kol ha'ne'achalim l'yom echad. If the Torah gave you one day to eat something, like all kochei kochim, or even certain kochim kalim, such as a korban teda. So those things are only allowed to be eaten by, as the case may be, the owner, most of the time it's by zichrei kohuna. All of those cases, really, you can continue to eat until it becomes notar, which is achiyalim and ashachar. But nonetheless, they set chatzot. So why did they set chatzot? I'll tell you. The only reason they said chatzot is because by telling you that you've got a point before Amud HaShachar, you're not going to come to be over on the actual Avera. Now, this is rather complex. First of all, Rashi includes Hekter Chalavim Ve'Evarim here. Not, it was Rashi says it couldn't be that they made a Gezerah on Hekter Chalavim Ve'Evarim not to do Haktarah. That we never find. We're just bringing an example over here of things that are mitzvatan balayla, and being as mitzvatan balayla, it extends kol alayla kula. When it comes to kriyat shema, and when it comes to the din of achila of kochim, they said at chatzot, but not in the case of hekdesh chalavim. Because that would be gorim, too much problems with hekdesh. I mean, we've got a lot of things that need to be put up there on the mizbeach, but we certainly didn't limit it. Which is a little bit strange, and indeed many Rishonim, including the Rambam, understand that Hekter Chalavim Ve'Varim is the same as anything else. It's Ad Chatzot. However, there's a big difference in some of these halachas. Because, for instance, what would be the din of Achila Le'achar Chatzot, where the Rabbanan said, your mitzvah is Ad Chatzot? Would they agree that in that case you should continue to eat, if you didn't get a chance, continue to eat Kachim, even though Mid Rabbanan, it's over the Zman? Well, now, wait a minute. If it's over the Zman, then that means Midrabbanan, and we view it as a type of notar. So that is just an extension of the Isur of notar. Then you're not allowed to eat it after Chatzot. That's not necessarily the same thing as Kriyat Shema, because in Kriyat Shema we don't have an Isur. In other words, when it comes to the question of whether you're allowed to eat, we could view the Takonah Rabbanan as not simply a redefinition of the Zman of the Mitzvah of Achila, but we can view it as an extension of the Isur of notar. Since when it comes morning, you're going to be over on an Isser Karet, therefore we tell you you're going to be over on an Isser Drabanan from Chatzos. We can't possibly say something like that on Kriyat Shema, because there's never an Isser to be Kori Kriyat Shema. But we could say that you're not going to be Yotzei Kriyat Shema, assuming that the Rabbanan have the Koach to say such a thing. And there is, in fact, a very significant da'at, the Bein HaRishonim, that learns, that's Rabbeinu Yonah, that learns that the Chachamim were mafkia the mitzvah. So that you couldn't be Yotze Kriyat Shema Arba Chatzot. In which case, how do we understand the comment of Rabbi Gamliel to his children? He was saying, since you came back from a wedding, so you have a din of anusim, because you will be Yotze B'mitzvah. Therefore, the Chachamim were engaged in B'vakam Anus. They're only Yotze when you did it on purpose. But if we learn, like the other Rishonim, that it's not that they're mafkia the mitzvah, but that they said, this is the time which you're mechuyev to read, then we can understand that the Beit HaMishter was a nightclub. It didn't have to be necessarily a place where you're Yotze B'mitzvah. Because then it would not necessarily be only B'di'avad, as a non-onus that we're allowing you. And they're just saying, he's just telling them, look, the Chachamim didn't mean that you shouldn't read Kriyat Shema. The Chachamim were just saying that they would prefer that you finish before, what's the Zman Kriyat Shema Min Rabbanan? You were older on the Zman Kriyat Shema Min Rabbanan. So therefore you should lose out on the mitzvah you're right out. Go ahead and say Kriyat Shema now.
The onus doesn't help the Chachamim, it doesn't matter.
Well, I don't know why you're so sure about that, but again, there's two completely different elements. Assuming that you're right, which in fact you are, if you hold that there's an Isser, it's because we have an extension of Isser. We don't have an extension of Isser when it comes to Kriyat Shema, as I mentioned earlier. Okay, so basically there's three things we need to take into consideration here in the examples you were given. First of all, are all these examples of places where the Chachamim, I think you're sitting in this gentleman's chair. All the examples the same, that when we say Ad Chatzot, when the mitzvah is Ad HaBoker, Chachom said Ad Chatzot. Very nice comment. So you figured out a way in which I don't get to say what you're doing. I was wondering why you were so gracious. I still register my protest, my dear President. Days above 20 degrees are not supposed to be 2 days, but okay. Yeah, go ahead. What more can I do? I mean, he was Macaulay for everybody. So, again, are all the cases the same? According to Rashi, no, all the cases are not the same because Hector Chalabim Veivorim, we didn't make a takana. Are all the cases the same vis-a-vis the din of chatzos being a lechatchila versus a bidiyavad? No, not necessarily, because when we have an iser, such as no sir, we may have extended it to say you're not allowed to eat. That's not a lechatchila and bidiyavad. That already becomes now an actual iser to Rabbanan. The reason, therefore, he tells his children, the reason in this case you were told at chatzot is not because they disagree with me in principle. They agree with me in principle. That zman shchiva b'shom b'cha means all the time of the night. Because that's when people sleep. From the time you go to sleep, whenever that is. I mean, that may be earlier in the day, maybe later. I'm not commenting on that. That's the first part. That's the ni'ema type. But I can tell you that certainly as long as people would normally be asleep, you could read Kriyat Shema. And therefore you could read Kriyat Shema now. Tana hecha koi diktoni mi'ema type. That is a very strange way to begin Shas with the word from when? Whoever said there was a when? In other words, whoever heard of opening a work without having established first the dinim that we're going to be discussing? Tell me. There's a mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. And that mitzvah of Kriyat Shema has two components, Vayom u'Balayla, which by the way is about locus, whether they're two separate components. It's listed by some Rishonim as two separate mitzvot, which would explain why it's called a mitzvah Saseh Shazban Gorma. If you learn that the Kriyat Shema is actually one mitzvah, which is the Yom Balayla, and you furthermore hold that there's no particular time that defines it, which we'll see if there are Rishonim and all that, it shouldn't be a mitzvah that says Shazman Gorma. But anyway, how can you use the word from when? Well, from when what? Who says there is such a thing? The two, furthermore, why did we start with the word of Ba'arvit? I mean, we certainly know that there's other places in the Torah. If you especially, you know, if you were talking about Laila, I could hear you. But you're talking about Arvit. Now, that bothers me. Because the concept of Bein Arbayim always comes after the morning. Tamid shel Boker, shel Shachar. Tamid shel Bein Arbayim. Why not start with Tamid shel Bein Arbayim and the Pasuk and then move on to Tamid shel Shachar? Well, what's the question of Erev exactly? that you're using over here. So my shah to tell me about Arvit Bereisha. Litni de Shacharit Bereisha. Let's talk about the day. Why not start from the morning? Answers the Gemara Tana Akroakai. Now this we're about to have two different approaches to the answer to this question, which really define the nature of the construction of the Mishnah. That's why it comes right up for the first discussion in the Gemara. First of all, you should know that the Mishnah is meant to be built on a knowledge of the Pesukim. In other words, the fundamental knowledge of the Pesukim, there is such a thing as reading these words, B'shoch B'chov Kubecha, that's a given. So the Tana has a right to begin with your knowledge of B'shoch B'chov Kumecha. However, in our first attempt to understand this, we want to take that further. And we want to say that the Mishnah is actually written on the basis of the Pesukim, not on your knowledge of the Pesukim. Since it says in the Pasuk, B'shoch B'cha Uv Kumecha, if we're coming to explain that Pasuk, we have to explain B'shoch B'cha, because that's what came first. So assuming that a Mishnah is a reference to a concrete Pasuk, then what else should we say? But Me'im Atai Kodim Et Shema Barim. That's what the Pasuk said, so that's what we're coming to explain. And therefore, since it says B'shoch B'cha Uv Kumecha, B'chi Katani, what the Mishnah is saying is, okay, you know from the Pasuk, dear reader, that there's such a thing as Kriyat Shema B'shoch B'cha. Zman Kriyat Shema B'shchiva Emat. When does that time of sleeping begin? Misha Shakohanim Nichlasim Lecho B'chumatan. That's one possibility. Now that's sort of a maximalist position. There's also a minimal position in this, which is, we know that the Pesukim exists, and we can address our words to people who have a basic knowledge of their Chiyuvim. We're coming, however, to discuss the details. The Mishnah is not a Pirish on the Pasuk. If the Mishnah is not a Pirish on the Pasuk, we're left with our original question. So why did it start from Erev? Because we can no longer say, because it says B'shoch B'cha on the Pasuk, we're not coming to talk about the Pasuk. We're only coming to talk about that which you know already from the Pasuk. However, how we structure the dinim is not based on the way that the Torah structures its dinim. So now we need another explanation. Why do we begin with Erev? And the answer to that is, Yalas Vibriyato Shel Olam. Basically, that's the way the Torah views time. Because if you take a look in the creation story, it always begins with Erev. It says, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker. So that means that the Torah seems to take a description of a day from Erev to Boker. Okay. I don't want people to be uncomfortable. Because what we could do is move back a little bit. Besides that, I love watching him. He's very responsive. I don't want to miss out on that. I'm going to stretch my neck all the way over there.
And it's calm and Rabbi has no problem.
When it's Calvin, as long as he's not near you. We still have that from the old days. So therefore, I need now to follow the structure of what Erev is. If we're talking about Erev, then it's clear throughout that Erev is what should be addressed first. And that's before I have anything else to talk about. I'm only talking about Erev and Boker. Nonetheless, Erev comes first. So it has nothing to do with the dinim of Kriyat Shema per se. I will always look to define a structure of Erev before a structure of Boker. Really now, is that true? Yahachi, I mean, if you said it the first way, then I would have been happy with the way you structure the parak. Because what happens is that immediately after describing the Zman Kriyat Shema Shel Erev and the Zman Kriyat Shema Shel Boker, the next mission after that begins talking about how many brachot you make before and after Kriyat Shema. And it starts by talking about Boker. Now, if you're telling me that it's a rule that you always talk about Erev first, then that makes no sense. If you're telling me you're following the Pasuk B'shoch B'cha Kumecha, fine. We discussed what is B'shoch B'cha, what is B'kumecha. Can we move on now? Thank you. Let's talk about the brachas. The brachas B'Boker are X, Y, and Z. B'Erev are something else. All right. That's fair enough. Because the Pasuk never talked about brachas. The brachas are the Rabbana. But if you're telling me that as a rule, I always want to follow, first, I want to start with Erev and then go to Boker, then why don't we just do it again? Me'im Atai Korin Kriyat Shema, Be'erev. Me'im Atai Korin Kriyat Shema, Boker. And then talk about V'bam avorchim b'kriyat shema b'erev, v'bam avorchim b'kriyat shema b'avokar. And instead you do it the other way around. So how do you explain the fact, according to this second teretz, the sefer of the Mishnah, the k'tani b'shachar b'varach shtayim lefanah v'achat l'achareha, u'be'erev b'varach shtayim lefanah v'shtayim l'achareha, that doesn't make any sense. We should have spoken about litnei d'arvit b'resha. Why didn't we talk about the brachot of kriyat shema b'erev, since you claim b'erev comes first? Well, that's not a good question. I mean, because remember, there's always two issues that we need to talk about. The structure, and then the logistics of the structure. I mean, one is strategic and one is tactical. The strategy is to discuss Erev and then Boker. We did that. We're in the middle of discussing Kriyat Shema Shel Boker. We now need to talk about the brachot. Clearly, tactically, it makes much more sense to talk about the brachot of Shachar since we're in the middle of that description, doesn't it? Well, we're certainly not going to say that this is such an imperative to discuss Erev and then Boker that it has to now be the structure of the Mishnah we're going to talk about it. We're coming to discuss something. Fine, let's discuss the Erev. You're in the middle of discussing a Boker. So it's such an important principle to say, okay, let's start over again and go back to the Erev. Well, let's start over again. So I'm in the middle of talking about Shachar. I'll continue to talk about Shachar. So Tana Patach Ba'arvit, V'hoda Tani B'Shacharit, as is implied by the order of Ayer Vayibaboker. But of course, Ad Dekoy B'Shacharit is in the middle of the issues of Shacharit. Porish Milay B'Shacharit, it continued now to finish explaining the dinim in detail about Shacharit, which includes the number of brachot. Being now on the topic of brachot, let me go back and tell you the brachot that are made by Arvit. Omar Mar. Now let's get into the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mishah Shacharim Nechlasim Lechob B'Chumatan. I mean, last I heard, the din is, as soon as the sun sets now, and the stars come out, the Kohen goes and eats truma, he's no longer a tzvulion. Why does the Tana just tell us straight out and say, what's this business of Kohanim? You see, Bishlema, I understand that if, in fact, the shiur that you would have brought was a shiur that did not correspond precisely to an astronomical phenomenon. And why is that? I know why that is. Because who's to say that Laila defines the Zman of Kriyat Shema? Since Shchiva is a social issue and not an astronomical issue, I understand why you want to take a non-astronomical reference point. But to tell me, well, actually, as a matter of coincidence, the fact that Kohanim happened to be Nichlas Lecho B'Trumasim, I mean, that really isn't the point. The point is, just by coincidence, that really is the time of Laila. So if you're telling me that the bottom line is that Shiva time is Laila time, I mean, come right out and say it. Tell me Sefer Kochavim is what we're talking about. And that's a very powerful question, because what he seems to be saying is, I don't believe that is a coincidence. I believe that the din is that it's a din in Laila, apparently, which is a problem. Answers the Gemara, well, that's not really the point. Milta agaburche kamashbalan. The Tana of the Mishnah decided to let us know along the way, even though that's not its fundamental function here, that kohanim ematai ka'achli b'truma mishat seta kochavim. You might have thought that if someone is a mechusar kippurim, and the type of tuma that he has would be, let's say, tzarat, so he needed to wait until he brought his korban in the morning. Perhaps he cannot eat truma until the morning. Maybe he can only eat maaser, but not truma. So you might have thought that the kapara, meaning the bringing of the korban, is ma'akev the kohen from eating truma. And therefore the Tana, just as an aside, wants to let you know that kapara lo ma'akva. Kidatanya, how do we know that kapara is not makar? Before we get into the how we know, I want to point out something about this. We know that kapara is not makar from a number of other mishnayot in the sugya of taharot itself. Sestosis points out, it's a little strange that the Tana should do this, but Tanas often do that. Even though there's a mishnah that specifically addresses something, they like to reiterate it just to keep it in mind, so that even if you're in another sugya, we'll pop along and let you know. You remember that old din about, you know, Kohanim and so on. Yeah. Well, that's the same thing as saying Sefer Kohanim. We don't do this all the time. So what do we do? It's just sort of, we throw the dice. Hey, here's a good place to remind people that Kapor Zamak is the Guna. But any of the innumerable other times that we talk about Seta Kochavim, it's too confusing. Let's just talk about Seta Kochavim. Difficult to believe, right? So again, because of the fact that perhaps it's true that the Zman Shchiva begins with Seta Kochavim, but is that really a Din of Kochavim, or is that in fact a social norm? If it's a social norm, then there's no better place for me to discuss an Agav than in a place where I want to make it clear that I'm not telling you Din in Laila, you see. If I would have told you Seta Kochavim, you would have been convinced, oh, that's Kriya Shema Shel Laila. Most people out there believe that there's such a thing as Kriya Shema Shel Yom and Kriya Shema Shel Laila, despite there's no such entity. Or at least from the Pasuk, it doesn't appear that there's such an entity. The moment that I start talking to you about something else that happens to equal the din of Seta Kochavim, you think to yourself, that's a strange way to say Seta Kochavim. And why over here do you use some other reference point to tell me Seta Kochavim? Because you're looking for an excuse not to say Seta Kochavim. Because you don't want to mislead me into thinking that it's an astronomical phenomena that has something to do with defining Zman Kriyat Shema. Why should it? It's true that at Seta Kochavim it's dark. That's a coincidence. When the sun goes away, it gets dark. But Lamaisa, if you were still living with the Or HaGanuz, you'd be measuring the sunset and it would have nothing to do with what you see. Correct? Okay, so then the fact that it gets dark, that's a good reason to go to bed. But that's all. It's not because the sun has set that somehow or other a new mitzvah comes into effect. So it hasn't, that doesn't have the same type of dinim of Laila that other things would have. Now, how do we know that in fact Kapora is not Ma'akev? That's very unclear in the Torah. The Torah says, Uba Hashemesh V'taher, but it's not clear what that means, as we'll see. V'achar Yochal Min HaKodashim, what is V'achar Yochal Min HaKodashim? Which Kodashim? Kodashim in the Beit HaMikdash couldn't be, because there's another pasuk that talks about bringing a carbon and then eating a kodashim. Might it mean Ma'aser? Could it mean Truma? Okay. So there's two things that are not clear. What are those Kodashim in the Pasuk? And the second thing that isn't clear, what is Vitaher? Uba Hashemesh Vitaher. Does that mean let the sun set and the Kohen, in this case, or the individual that we're talking about, go ahead and do what he's got to do to become Tahor? Or is it a description of the reality? Uba Hashemesh, as soon as the sun sets Vitaher, the guy is Tahor. Or is it perhaps Uba Hashemesh V'taher Hashemesh? In other words, there's two steps. Uba Hashemesh, let the sun enter now into its beneath the horizon resting place, and then V'taher, let the day go completely black, meaning let it be cleared out from all of its light. Now we're assuming at this point that Uba Hashemesh V'taher means let the sun set and let the day get dark. So in other words, we talked about Shkia, and we talked about Seta Kochavim, and as far as the Tahara of the individual is concerned, the Achayo Chamina Kodashim implies that he's Tahara. I mean, he can't say it more powerfully. Not only is he Tahara, he can even eat Kachim, which turns out to be Truma. So now, says that Bryce, Uba Hashemesh V'Taher means, B'yat Shimshoma Akavatomi Le'echob Truma Ve'in Kaparatoma Akavatomi Le'echob Truma. This time around, you don't have to miss anything. This is the first day of the rest of your daf yom. it goes in a blink of an eye. Before you know it, you'll be proud to have not missed a thing. So therefore, the pasuk is making it clear, all we care about is sunset. After that, Yochal Min HaKodashim. Kapara, which could only take place the next morning because you can't possibly bring the korban at night. In kaparatom, akavatom, ilachol betrumah, you don't have to worry about bringing that korban. Now wait a minute. Yes, how do you know that? Umimayta hayuba hashemesh biyat hashemesh. There's two ways to understand uba hashemesh. The sun has come. The sun has come. I mean, the sun doesn't come because we see the light of the sun before the sun comes. So the sun has come, we understand to mean the sun has come to its place beneath the horizon. Meaning, the sun has set. It's come home, come into port, so to speak. But there would be a different way of understanding who Bar HaShemesh. Bar HaShemesh could mean the light of the sun has come. So how do you know that Bar HaShemesh refers to sunset, to Biyat HaShemesh? And then when it says V'taher, refers to V'taher Yuma. That now the remaining light of the day has cleared away and we're left with deep, dark night and the stars shining up there in the sky. Dilma Biyat Orohu. Maybe actually what it means is the light of the sun has come, meaning it's dawn. And now, Umay V'taher, V'taher is not a reference to the day. V'taher is a reference to, and now the man should go ahead and do what he's got to do. So it's Lashon Tzivui. Let the Kohen go now and bring his korban. V'achar yochal min ha-kodeshim. And then after bringing his korban, he can eat truma. Which would mean that the kapara is ma'akev, the Kohen. So how do you know? So maybe V'taher is V'taher Gavra. The man who's got to do what he's got to do should do what he's got to do and bring the korban after the sun rises. Omer Rabba Bar Rav Shila, I'll tell you why. Because the Torah is not interested in being ambiguous. And since it's very ambiguous to say V'taher, because I don't know what the antecedent of the pronoun is. Who V'taher? The Shemesh V'taher? Or the individual who's now being told to go ahead and V'taher? So to make it clear, the Torah would have said, if it's referring to the individual, it would have said, Uba Shemesh V'yitaher. And then he will do his thing and go and become Torah. And that way it leaves no ambiguity. Since it says V'taher instead of V'yitaher, my V'taher, Teher Yuma. It's got to mean the sun has gone away completely. In other words, there's no longer any light. And we have also, we use in the common speech, Kedi Amri Inch, it's like people say when they want to talk about its deep night, they say, Yarib Shimsha V'ad Ki Yuma. Well, the sun set and cleared away the day. Cleared away the day means there's nothing left of it. So here too, the prophet is using the same type of expression. The day has cleared, meaning it's now dark. B'ma'arav, and it's interesting, in Eretz Yisrael, they did not work out the meaning of the pasuk. So, ha'derava barav shila lo shmielu, they never had heard this analysis that it should have said v'yitaher instead of v'tahar, because as Tosis points out, there's many, many cases where the Torah uses the word v'tahar, referring absolutely to the individual. And therefore, they viewed an approach that would say, as Rabbi Bar Rav Shila did, that necessarily it's a reference to the individual, to the sun, because otherwise it would say v'yitaher, as mufra. There's so many psukim where that's not true. But says Tosfos, that's because it's not ambiguous in those psukim. This is the only pasuk where it creates an ambiguity, and therefore should have said v'yitaher. That left Knech they didn't agree with, or didn't hear, in Eretz Yisrael. And so, in analyzing the pasuk as a standalone issue, what does the pasuk mean? They asked. What does the pasuk mean? Uba lumi boy. So they asked it as a question on the pasuk. Hai uba Hashemesh biat shimshou. Umay v'taher would be v'taher yuma, the way we're understanding it, which would mean you don't need to bring the korban. Odilma biat orohu, maybe it means sunrise. Umay v'taher taher gavra. They had no way of understanding from the pasuk what it meant. However, they said, look, it's clear from the braita. How that pashto lemi braita, which we're going to see in a few moments, midiktani v'braita simana davat seta kochavim. The Braita says, that time is the time of Tzeta Kochavim. Oh, well, it's the time of Tzeta Kochavim. So then obviously, Shmamina, it's clear that the Kabbalah that we have about this meaning of the Pasuk is that it means sunset, and Taher has to mean clear out the day, Taher Yuma, which means that the Kapora is not Ma'akev. We don't know how that's known, but clearly that's the way the Pasuk is taken. Now there's a disastrous, catastrophic problem with the Pirush I just told you in the Gemara. Because it makes absolutely no sense to say that they have to wait for a Braisa to know that. If a Mishnah asks the question, when do you read Kriyat Shema at night, and tells you, it sure is not talking about the next morning. So how could you possibly have thought that the meaning, until you finally discover the Braisa, I understand, any 2-year-old knows this Mishnah. So what are you telling me you have to wait for the Braisa for? Makes no sense whatsoever. Therefore, Tosfos disagrees with his entire approach. This is Rashi's approach. My approach, this is Tosfos' approach consistently. This is, of course, the whole Rabbeinu Tam issue. What is night? How long is the time of Ben HaShemashot between sunset and nightfall? Those who keep the Zman of the Rabbeinu Tam know that there's a question over here of 72 minutes. Maybe 72 minutes, not as an absolute, 72 minutes, astronomical minutes, of course. So the actual length would depend on the time of the day, or would depend on where you are. Exactly. What's that? This Tosfos is the Tosfos of Vilna. However, what I'm telling you from the Rabbeinu Tam is the Tosfos in Shabbos and Sogin, which analyze that issue. So, Tosfos says, look, it's completely impossible to learn that anybody entertained the notion that the question of Biyatoro and the Taher has to do with the switch over to the morning, the way Rashi's learning, because then the Mishnah has adequate proof that it's not talking about the morning. So what else would it mean? But why do you need Siman HaDavar Tzeta Kochavim? Therefore, I say the meaning is, works out very well according to how I understand it, that basically there are two stages in the day in Shkia itself, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. There's the beginning of Shkia, which is the sun falling immediately beneath the horizon. And then there's a long period, which consists of 3.25 miles, kilometers of walking, which is how we measure the time, because that's the sun essentially walks. We talk about the walking. And that's good. That's a real good loop. And you could probably have used that as a default loop. Default, I don't remember anything. And because then if it isn't a loop, he'll think it means and so I'm very anxious to know. And brilliant. We can see we started again. He's getting better all the time. Therefore, Tainus Taisus, the idea is like this. Bo HaShemesh V'tiher would mean Bo HaShemesh, totally, meaning the end of Shkia, which is a process, according to me, a long process. So Bo HaShemesh would be the end of Shkia. The Taher would mean the day has become cleared out of its light, which would be Tzeta Kochavim. You say that's what it means. How do I know that? Maybe it means Biat Oro. Biat Oro means not that the sun has completed Shkiat HaChama, which is falling a certain number of degrees beneath the horizon, which then now prevents, this is dependent on the sugya of the reflection of the sun off of the opposite side of the sky at a certain angle. Okay, so we analyze the number of degrees in actual astronomical sense. For the Rabbeinu Tam, we figure out the number of degrees of falling beneath the horizon that it would take to prevent the reflection of the sun from beneath the horizon to bounce off from the upper atmosphere. That's what it ends up being. So therefore we use those words of Biat Oro and so on. So Biat Oro would mean the end of the direct rays of the sun. Maybe that's all that it means. Not Biat Shimsho, that the sun no longer bounces off the horizon. And now we're talking about the afterglow, which according to the Rabbeinu Tam, according to us it's night. But according to the Rabbeinu Tam, that afterglow, in which you don't have a direct reflection of the rays of the sun from the opposite side to the horizon, but you still have a glow across the horizon, which in the morning is the equivalent of dawn, that is still considered to be daytime. In which case, maybe Biat Oro means the direct rays of the sun. Okay, so the sun has now fallen just this second beneath the horizon. As far as Tosfos is concerned, that's still broad daylight. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, what we call Shkiat HaChama, you could still be riding around in your car Erev Shabbos, because you still got a long time until you got to worry about the Shkia that's going to end the day and begin Bein HaShemashot. Long, long time.
So Bein HaShemashot doesn't begin now either.
No, Bein HaShemashot doesn't begin until after the end of Shkia, according to Rabbeinu Tam. In which case, maybe that's what the Vetaher means. Maybe the Vetaher means you don't have now your additional time to walk Chamesh Milim and so on. It's already ended the entire period, but you still got of Shkia, but you still got plenty of time before Tzeta Kochavim. That was the question. So, and when I read in the Mishnah that it's Bishasha Kohanim Nechlasim Lachob Chumatam, how do I know when that is? Maybe Mishasha Kohanim Nechlasim Lachob Chumatam is at the end of Shkia. How do I know it means Seita Kochavim? Because after all, I mean, according to me, Shkia is a time which takes a very long time. We're already in the middle of going to the movies on Matzai Shabbos when the Shkia hasn't yet happened, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So maybe that's what the Mishnah meant. Therefore, until they found the Brisa that said Siman L'davar Tzeit HaKochavim, they had no way of establishing from the Mishnah, because we never were talking about V'taher, the V'taher in the sense of bringing your carbon. That's not what V'taher Gavra means. V'taher Gavra means the guy becomes tahor at that point. That's all that it means. Okay? So that at that moment that you have the beginning of Shkia, the guy is now tahor. Tamashmalan, similar to Tzeit HaKochavim. No, it's actually the time of Tzeit HaKochavim.
We know. How do we know that when the Kohanim eat truma, is that just a given?
No, it says Ve'achar Yochal Min HaKodashim Ki Ulachmo, and that the Gemara Darshins elsewhere can only be referring to truma. It can't be referring to actual kachrut.
But how do we know that it's Tzeit HaKochavim?
From this pasuk, Bo Hashemesh V'Tahara, and that's exactly what we're asking it.
Okay.
So we know how the Brisa knows that that's true. Because obviously the Brisa based it on Rabba Baruch Shila. That it couldn't mean that, because then it should have said V'yitaher, because otherwise it's too vague. Okay? In the Ma'arava, they were only coming to establish what is the fact, not how do we know that fact. Okay, now getting back to the Mishnah, you said, Misha Asha Kohanim Nefasim Lachol B'Trumatan. And that seems to be a given over here. Problem is, in the Brisa we find that it's but not a given by any means. Raminu. Me'imatai korinat shema be'arvin, mishani nichnatz lachopito b'melach. Actually, the time of Kriyat Shema would be the time that an oni, and what's special about an oni, is that he can't afford high energy costs. And therefore, he will not artificially light up his house. Since what we're talking about, b'shoch b'cha uvkumecha, is understood to mean a human being in a primitive and simple state of existence, which is Dibra Torah Lashon B'nei Adam, and not B'shoch of Kumecha of a society that has electricity at the flick of a button and doesn't know when it's dark and when it's night and when it's light. So therefore, the choice, take an Ani who can't afford energy, even if he has it, he's not going to light a candle. So it's dark. Okay. That's when he's going to go eat, because he's not going to eat when it's pitch black, right?
Why not talk about work and full moon and changing times as you...
Because we're not interested in day and night. We're interested in b'shoch b'cha. So if you live out on the farm and you don't have a generator, then you work by the light of the day and you go to sleep when the sun sets. Right? So that's b'shoch b'cha. And this would be the way the Torah would address a simple agrarian society. When you go to sleep, but when you go to sleep, you go to sleep when the sun sets. So you're an ani, you're coming now to eat, it's at the end of your day of work, it's getting dark out there, soon you won't be able to see anything that you're eating, and therefore you eat early. So you go in to eat pitova melach, acha asho maybe pater mitoka suda, and at the time that you're about to end your meal, that's when you go to sleep, and you're already sleeping. So if b'shoch b'cha now includes the time that you... Did I not catch what you were asking? Is that what you're saying?
I just said that full moon people work later at night because...
Oh, that was your question?
Yes, and why not say it according to when you come in from work? And say it's more
because people don't really work by the full moon. The fact that you can work by the full moon doesn't mean that people change their schedule depending on how much moon is out there. In an emergency, you do. It's harvest time, it's going to rain, and so on. But the norm is, when it's dark, so I didn't understand this. I thought you meant... Why don't we use an astronomical reference? So, that's the end.
That's a very short
tomorrow. Yeah. But it's not... Look, I mean, that part definitely is not like the Mishnah. I mean, there's no way to fit that into one-third of the night. I mean, that's crazy. Nobody could possibly sit and eat that long. Why would he? The whole point was to avoid energy costs. So, the Sefer Vaday Poligamat Nitin, there's no way of fixing the shita over here that says, I mean, any of the shitas of the Mishnah, it's not ad chatzot, it's not ad sof hashmura rishona, and it's certainly not ad habokar, ad alos hashachar. So this represents now a different approach than our Mishnah. Okay, agreed. But the Resha, Milema Pligi Amatnitin, must we say that the Shita that is said over here in the Braita is different than the Shita in the Mishnah, which talks about a Kohen? Now again, you see clearly, both the Braita and the Mishnah avoid giving us astronomical data. They talk about no points that are objective. They talk about points that are social. We're talking about B'shochtecha. So now it becomes much more understandable. If I have a choice of referring to a poor man or referring to a Kohen, and I can tell you a halacha by referring to a Kohen about when a Kohen's allowed to eat truma, I'd rather refer to a Kohen. That's all. I mean, the previous chat makes much more sense given this. Since we can say now, says the Gemara, only the Kohen Chachiru. Maybe that's the same way of referring. It's different ways, I mean, of referring to the same point. So it means basically right at the beginning of the night. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. That doesn't seem to be true either, because V'raminu, how about this bright? So now we've got a third social idea. Since on Erev Shabbat people generally eat earlier, because after all the meal is all prepared, they don't have to come home from work and now think about what are they going to put in the microwave. So Mamela, this is a early in the day shear, early in the night shear. Divrei Rabbi Meir, I mean, we now have three different social references to the same point. Is that what you're going to say? Well, let's see if we can say that. Because this is Rabbi Meir Shita. The Chachamim Omrim, Misha Shakoanim Zakayim Lachobit Shumatam. Uh-oh. Now this is saying very clearly that the time that Kohanim are able to eat their truma, Siman of the Vatzeta Kochavim, this is the famous Braita that we were referring to, B'Maharava. So this is saying that Tzeta Kochavim is not the time that is being referred to by the other Mandi Omar, who says that it's a time of eating a meal. Okay? Now assuming, by the way, even though I can't prove it, I can't prove that the idea is Tzeta Kochavim, but I can indicate that that's the case. Because look, and this addresses Abba's question before about moonlight and so on. Talking about the building of the Beit HaMikdash, what Nehemiah says over is, we were busy working on the Beit HaMikdash, but we needed, half of the guys were busy with the guns while the other guys were busy building because the Arabs were bringing so much stores, we couldn't build. So chetziyam marzikim b'ramachim. So half of the population was sitting there with the romach, and the other guys were busy building. You had to have guards when you were building your walls. And how long did we do this building? Me'alot ha-shachar v'atzeit ha-kochavim. Look, we built from dawn until night. The Omer, and furthermore, it says in the pasuk, v'ayu lanu ha-layla mishmar v'ayom alakha. And at night, the entire night, were mishmarot, to avoid attack. And in the day we use for our work. Wait a minute. What's the last part for? Why do I need that second part? You seem to have showed me, and this is why I say it addresses Abba's question, you seem to have showed me that people work from Alot HaShachar until Tzeit HaKochavim. So you have now shown that the end of work, even when there's a bright moon, it's Tzeit HaKochavim. So in other words, what you're saying is, the time at which a person would no longer work, so okay, so now he's going to bed. It's the end of his day. It's Tzeit HaKochavim. That's enough of a proof. So what are you telling me that Rebbe Meir has to bring now the second part to prove it? V'ayalanu ha'layla mishmar v'ayom alakha. What does that add? Mai v'omer, what does that add? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you what it adds, because b'chi teme b'chi arba shim shalaylio. Maybe the truth is that these guys were doing more than a normal day's work. Maybe the truth is that shkia would have defined night for any normal purposes. V'inu de mechashku mekadmi. These guys would wake up very early in the morning because of the lachat of the mitzvah. As long as it was possible to work later, earlier, they had a longer day than usual. In other words, what they're doing is they're saying, look, we kept a normal schedule. The thing is that all night long we didn't sleep. That was the difference, because we had to have guards. And so we all had guard duty at night. But the point is we worked during the day. Now you're telling me you work during the day means you work until Tzeit HaKofavim. That's what you're saying. Therefore, says Rebbe Meir, you see? Now, of course, you say, oh, so that proves it. No, it doesn't prove it. Because, again, the fact that they work this way and that the Torah now defines it here in Nehemiah as being Yom Belayla still doesn't tell me about Shechiva, does it? Maybe Shechiva would be a little bit later. I don't know what Zman Shechiva is. But what I do see is that a schedule that was kept in terms of day and night. So when I told you Tzeit HaKofavim and you said, I know what you were thinking to yourselves. Yeah, I know. You were thinking Tzeit HaKofavim. What does he think, this Rebbe Meir, anyway? He thinks that this is a din in Laila? Why would he say Tzeit HaKofavim? Well, let me show you something, friends. Here we're talking about Nehemiah. And they're talking about working. And they say, you know, as long as it was light, we were working. And that ends up being Yom Belayla. See? So you're right, it's a coincidence to some extent. But I could certainly use this as a reference point to Shiva. It's not a Raya. Obviously, I agree it doesn't prove it. I'm just saying that it appears a very reasonable thing to say that if people work during the time of the day and they sleep during the time of the night, that Zman Shiva is not coincidentally related to the night. So if nightfall is Tzeit HaKofavim, then that's a good time to say Kriyat Shema. Now, the problem is now, getting back to our question, I mean, it's reasonable to assume that the case of an Ani every day, who's going to have an early Suda because he can't afford the energy, and the case of meals on an Erev Shabbos for everybody, where the concern is not energy, but the concern is to get into Shabbos early and to use the preparation time that I had during the day for Shabbos. I mean, it's reasonable to assume that that's the same time. And more reasonable than to assume the two times that have to do with when you eat a Suda are actually different times, and the time that is the similar time is the Kohen time with the Ani time. I mean, that's much more far-fetched. So let's assume now, the Ani of Bnei Adam, that the Ani on the weekday and the Bnei Adam on the Erev Shabbat is Chachiyurahu. Now, we can no longer say, if that's the case, we can no longer say that Ani v'koin chachiyurahu, because Iyamrit Ani v'koin chachiyurahu, that the Chachamim and Rebbe Meir are saying exactly the same thing. And if you're going to, what are you going to try to tell me? That now basically all three times are the same. That's what you're saying. Because I'm taking for granted that the eating time Erev Shabbos, eating time of the Ani are the same. You're trying to claim that in the earlier Brayta, when he uses the eating of the Ani instead of the Kohen's eating of Truman, that that's the same time. So now we've got three references to the same point, which maybe you could tell me, except for the unfortunate news that it's clearly a machlokas here between Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim. So how could they all be saying the same thing? They're arguing. So there are at least two different points. The assumption being that the two different points are the eating points and the Truma point. The eating points have two ways of being described, the Ani or the Erev Shabbat, but the point is, clearly not everybody agrees with our Mishnah. I think we could definitely establish that, because otherwise, as the Gemara says, then Rebbe Meir is saying exactly the same thing as the Chachamim. Ela Shmamina, I think that conclusively proves that Ani Shiur Lechud V'Kohen Shiur Lechud. That the case in the Braita, the first Braita here, argues on the Mishnah, and it refers to another shear of a person who's interested in saving energy costs. So, well, you're absolutely right about the fact that there's clearly two points here. If there's a machlokas, there's got to be two points. But your conclusion is not necessarily true in terms of claiming that the first Braita is a reference to something other than a Kohen, because perhaps Ani and Kohen are indeed Chachiyura, as I originally said, and the Ani of Bnei Adam on Erev Shabbat are not the same shear. That's just as possible. So maybe Ani of Bnei Adam love Chachiyurahu. No, that's unacceptable. I'll tell you why. Because if you are suggesting, and I got to tell you, Rich, what we're doing over here is we're zeroing in more and more, and that's why the Gemara is constructed in this fashion. What we could have done, if we don't want to keep things as fascinating and interesting as they are, and make sure that no one would ever think of drifting off, then what we could have done is simply made you a list. Here are the various different times of the different Mandiyamrim, and here's what they equal on the clock. Okay? We're not going to do that. We're going to gradually drive you with bananas. So in other words, first we're going to give you the shear in the Mishnah. Then we're going to give you another shear. Okay, so you figure, why should we assume that the world is more complex than I'd like it to be? It's probably the same shear. They say, well, but how about this other shear? Well, maybe those two shear are the same, but then I guess, okay, there's one additional shear. Ah, but now you're claiming that those two shear are right. Let's see if we can break up those two shear too by bringing you in yet another reference point and showing, and then you'll try to say, well, maybe they're the same. Ah, but then we'll bring you in a fifth reference point so you can see that people are arguing about those two. And now, before you even knew it, you just realized that life is horrifically complex if you want to read Kriyat Shema. And so meanwhile, you've absorbed all these different shiurim. So the approach that we take is let's zero in how much we can tease apart the different shiurim. I don't want to tell you straight out what those different shiurim are. And that way, for sure, you get Richie in there feeling excited and completely engaged.
I think you're misreading Richie. It's not, the body gesture is really a kasha on the Mishnah and the stands about when people sleep. I think it's...
That even if it's poker, even if it's
we're gonna get to that cheapest.
Which goes back to why he's really worn this for the Shema, because
you know, after 3 hours he would be up.
Maybe.
Very, very deep.
Says the Gemara. Now, wait a second here. You're claiming now that the Ani and the Kohen is one shear. The Erev Shabbat Achila is another shear. No, that doesn't work either. Because for Aminu, what are you going to do about this, right? Mi'imatai matchilim likrot shma ba'arvin. Mi'sha'ah shekidesh hayom be'erev Shabbatot de Rav Eliezer. From the time of Shkia. Because, I mean, you can't not keep Shabbos, once it's Shkia, since you're immediately going to have a suffix of Ben HaShemashot, right? So now you're talking about Shkiat HaChamana. This is something new, because we were talking about Seta Kochavim until now. All of a sudden comes along Reb Eliezer, he says, Shkiat HaChamana. By the way, this is unfortunately the same Reb Eliezer that appeared in the Mishnah, who said, Ad Sof HaShemura Rishona Din Reb Eliezer, and gosh, the innocent reader actually believed that Reb Eliezer was saying the whole first part of the Mishnah. Me'ematai atzov divrei Reb Eliezer, and here he disagrees with what he says in the Mishnah. As I mentioned to you earlier, it's very reasonable to say that there's two parts to the Mishnah. Part A, me'ematai, from when? Part B, till when? Reb Eliezer says, till sof hashmura rishona. In which case, Reb Eliezer here is not arguing on himself, he's arguing on the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, which is why the Gemara is going to now work this out. But let's set that aside for a moment. So we now have a new reference point. And now the reference point is Shkia. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Misha Asha Kohanim et Tuarim Lechol Betrumatam. That sounds like our old point of Tzedek Kochavim. And here, just to keep things absurdly complex, is that Rabbi Meir contradicts what he said before, because before Rabbi Meir said, it's Misha Asha Kohanim, again, he said, Simen L'dover Tzedek Kochavim. He himself said, brought the whole riot from the Chemia and everything. And now Rabbi Meir says, well, actually, it means Mishaasha Kohanim Tovelim Lechol Betrumatam. It's actually the point they go to the mikveh. Said Rabbi, the point they go to the mikveh. They have to go to the mikveh when it's broad daylight. How could that be the time of Shchiva? V'halo Kohanim Mibod Yomim Tovelim. By definition, if you're going to do Harif Shemesh, you have to have gotten out of the mikveh before you get into a Suffolk Laila. So now, it means by the time Shkia comes along, you're already out of the mikveh. So I mean, how could you tell me that Zman Shchiva is the middle of the day? You want to illustrate that, right?
I'll pass on that one.
All right, so he leaves that question hanging. Reb Chanina Omer, Misha'a she'ani nichnas lecho pito b'melach. Now, here, what we've done is we've put in one of the previous reference points right in the middle of these other reference points. They obviously can't be equal because one of these points is from the time that the Kohen can eat Truma. From the time the Kohen can eat Truma. And the question of Ani Nichnasa Kol Pito are two different mandiyarmim. They can't be the same point. So now you really got a problem. Oh, by the way, you got a lot of other problems. The Rebbe Meir contradicted himself. Rebbe Eliezer contradicted himself, and any number of other issues, as we'll see. Rebbe Chai, and some say it was Rebbe Acha, says, actually, it's Misha Sherov Bnei Adam Nichnasim Lahaseh. That's not clear whether that means during the week, whether that means on Shabbat. But anyway, that's later than the time just mentioned. We're going to go show how we know all of this. The Iyamrit, so first of all, I mean, it's clearly impossible to say what you claimed earlier, that Ani Bekoin is Chachiyurahu, because then Rabbi Hanina comes out to be saying exactly the same thing as Rabbi Yehoshua. I mean, it's Rabbi Yehoshua who says over Mishash Kohanim Mituarim Lachol B'Trumatam, which is Seita Kochavim, and you claim that the shear of the Ani, which is the shear of Rabbi Hanina, is the same. Mishash Ani Nichnas Lachol Pito. Can't be the same, because then Rabbi Hanina is arguing with Rabbi Yehoshua and ends up saying the same thing. So clearly these are not just different ways of referring to the same moment on the clock, they are different moments on the clock. Halalav Shema Mina Shiur, the Ani Lachud, that's a given. The Ani's got to be separate, the Shiur of the Kohen's got to be separate, and that's a given. Now, we can't make that mistake anymore. Now, can I just know Hai Minayu Mu'uchar? Of the two, which one is later? Does the Ani come in earlier to make sure that he's got a lot of light for his Seudah? And that's even before the Tzeta Kochavim? Or does he, like, push it to get as much work as he can out of the day and come, like, right after Tzeta Kochavim? So he starts his Seudah a few minutes after the Kohen would be allowed to eat his Truma. By the way, Tosfos has a very interesting question. How actually would he be able to eat? Since you're not allowed to eat before davening, since you can't daven before this time, so that he can't eat. But if he can't eat, then this can't be the time that he eats, which can't be the time for his Kriyat Shema. So that would have to be put off until the later time. But in the later time, what you do is see the problem. Right? In any event. So, Haiminayu Mu'uchar. Well, Mistabra the Ani Mu'uchar. I'll tell you. It's only reasonable to say that the case of the Ani is later than the moment of the Kohen. I'll tell you why. Because the Iyamrit the Ani Mukdam, if you're going to tell me that the case of the Ani is actually earlier, so then Rabbi Hanina, who uses the Ani as a reference point, would then seem to be saying the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer, who says, Mishashi Kidesh Hayom Barve Shabbatot. Now, obviously, that's not necessarily true, correct? In other words, there's still, you've got some time between the beginning of Shkia, which is the moment that you've got to worry about Shabbos, which is Rebbe Eliezer's year, and Tzeta Kochavim, which is when the Kohanim are going to be able to eat from their Truma. And in the middle, you could fit in yet another shear, and that would be the shear of the time that the Ani eats. So, you know, 5 minutes apart, whatever. Says Tosfos, the reason that the Gemara is teasing it apart in this way is because since we are referring not to astronomical phenomena, it simply doesn't make sense to have so many points in a time when you're utilizing very vague criteria for defining those points. In other words, if the points that you have are vague points that stretch across the clock a bit, then how can you have a lot of vague points within a short period? If you were talking about precise moments that I'm able to define objectively, fine. Okay, so you say 10 minutes before Shkia, you say 8.3 minutes before Shkia, whatever, I don't care. You got as many points as you want, you know. If you can go all the way to Zeno, for that matter, we could be here forever. But if you're talking about vague things, then you can't have so many points. Therefore, it's not reasonable to say, we'll insert yet another vague point between Shkia and Seita Kochavi. And if we got another point, it's got to be later. The Kohen finishes now his time, which he can eat Truma. Now comes along the Ani, and he's stretched his day out, and he is now ready to have his Seudah. Shush. I told you to shut off your cell phones. And now nasty thing to do. Now, yeah, but going the only chatshur, Reb Chanina and Reb Yeshua el alav, the only thing that we're left with, Shema mina shiur the ani lachud, v'shidur the kohen lachud. They've got to be now separate. I mean, I'm meuchar, mistav the ani meuchar, the e amrit ani muftam Reb Chanina and Reb Eliezer. Therefore, we have now proved that alav shema mina the ani meuchar shema mina. I think we've been here long enough, and so tomorrow we will talk about the contradictions in Rebbe Eliezer's Shita, contradictions in Rebbe Meir's Shita, and how to get out of what appears to be the hopeless question of Rebbe Meir, a shear in the middle of the day, a man shiva, doesn't make sense. Ma, ta lo mityayesh ani roi.
No.
I'm in the middle of that journey. What are you calling me? Call me back. Yeah, we're going to review. We do a review now if anybody's interested. Yeah, we just review the. Oh, thank you. So we go back a few days, read over the daf. Go over the promise. Oh, just do
brachos.
Okay, fine.
All right.
My dear president, yeah, I know that you didn't want to tell me in the middle of the siyum how much money there is in the account. Oh, you don't remember? Online? Online?
That's how he keeps his head open for Gemara. He gets everything out of his head.
Huh?
Can I tell the Rebbe?
No, she's not there. So. But, okay, you call, leave a message on my line. Fine.
How much is available?
How much is available? Yeah. Shalom Aleichem. All right, time for review, gentlemen.
We just read the daf very fast. But
generally, we go back like 4 or 5 pages. Today we won't because you weren't here for Nita. In other words, we keep reviewing until we run out of time.
So.